We turn in sacred scripture to the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and we read verses 8 through 15, which will also be the text for the sermon this morning. Song of Solomon 2, verse 8. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping on the mountains, skipping on the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. We read this far in God's holy and inspired word. Over the last couple of years, as we've celebrated the Lord's Supper, we have looked at different passages in the Song of Solomon. And this is sermon number 8 on the Song of Solomon. We've seen that the Song of Solomon is a beautiful poetic description of an earthly relationship between Solomon and his wife, who is called the Shulamite, or that's the feminine form of the word or name Solomon. We've seen that this is a very real earthly relationship. It's very close in many ways to our relationships, especially the relationship of marriage. All these snapshots that you have in the Song of Solomon of this earthly relationship are reflected in our marriages, and as we've looked at them, our hearts have been warmed and we've learned for our marriages. That kind of a lesson comes out, for example, in the verse immediately preceding the text for this morning. She says to the daughters of Jerusalem, Stir not up nor awake love till it please. And she's saying there is a time for love, and the time is marriage and not before. Don't wake love before its time. But now, as we've looked at the Song of Solomon, we have also each time looked heavenward, lifted our eyes beyond this earthly relationship to, yes, the relation of Christ and His bride, the church, and His love for her and her love for Him and their mutual relationship. And as we've done that, we've been able to learn some things for ourselves too, and things about our personal life and our personal walk with the Lord. And those things make this book very rich. It speaks lessons, volumes about the earthly relation of a man and his wife. But it also speaks of the rich relationship of the church to Christ and His rich love for her. Now in the text for this morning, we have another one of these snapshots from the life of Solomon and the Shulamite and their relationship. And you notice that it's in the spring, springtime. Love in the springtime, that's the time for love. And this morning as we look at it, I hope not only that you're filled with a longing for spring and a longing for love, but especially a longing for the spiritual reality, Christ's relation and ours to Him. So we look at these words under the theme springtime love, and we'll look first at the earthly picture here and then at the spiritual or heavenly reality. In these verses, the Shulamite is sharing a memory with her audience. You might say she takes out an album and she points to a picture, she shows us the picture, and she tells us the story behind it. The picture you have in verse 9, The second part of verse 9, "Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at or into the window, showing himself through the lattice." And that's the picture. Here's her husband standing on the other side of the wall, and you can see him through the wall, and he's looking in. And then she tells us about the scene behind him, the rest of the picture, the background, in verses 11 and following. "The winter is past. It's springtime. The rain is over. The mud is gone. The ground has become hard so that things can grow. The flowers appear on the earth. The birds are singing. The turtle dove, is cooing and can be heard in the land. The fig tree, alongside where Solomon stands in this picture, is bringing forth green figs, and the vine that's growing around the porch has tender grapes on it." This is the picture. And then she tells us the story behind the picture that comes out in verse 8. This is the story. "Behold, he cometh leaping on the mountains, skipping on the hills." This is what had happened. Solomon had come running across the hills to this house. And now here he is standing outside the walls of the house. There was something about his coming. It was unstoppable. "He comes," she says, as a roe and a young hart, a deer let loose in the spring. And nothing can stop him. Nothing can stop him. He comes with speed, with purpose. He comes because he loves her. And then she tells us as well what he says. In verse 10, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." And in verse 13, "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." Now, we don't know when or where this happened. It could have happened before they were married, when still she lived in Ephraim, and she's remembering that and telling us about when she lived there with her brothers and her mother, and Solomon came to visit her. Or it could be that this happened sometime after their marriage and Solomon was gone away on kingly business. But it really doesn't matter. This is what matters. This is a day to remember, a day of springtime love that's imprinted in her memory. You see, she doesn't actually have a picture to show us. But she remembers the sights and the sounds and the smells of that day, because this is a day which was a memorable day in her life. She remembers how her heart beat in response to his love. He was so wonderful. He was so irresistible. He was so invigorating, like the spring, as he came to see her. And in that heart of love, the whole world is different in her eyes as she's filled with love. You know that. When you're in love, there's a glow about you, and there's a glow about everything around you in the world. And you remember who was there, where you were, the smells, the sounds, when he came and he asked the question. That's what she's talking about. Now, this is especially memorable for her because he comes to her at a time when she feels that she needs him most. Let me explain that from the text. There's another side to this glowing story in the text. There's a dark side, you might say, in the text as well. The brightness and the happiness of spring comes after the dark and the cold of winter. She had been separated from him. She had been cooped up in her room. You can imagine perhaps the hut that she lived in Ephraim. Off on a quiet, secluded spot. And she sat there all by herself wondering, when will he come? When will he come? He seems so far away and the days seem so long and it's so lonely and he doesn't come. And she begins perhaps to pity herself. And now when he does come, she's not ready for him because she's began to perhaps resent him because he hadn't come when she expected. And in her self-absorbed pity, she pushes him away. That's here in the text. That's why he has to stand at the door and knock and call out her name more than once. Come away with me, verse 10 and verse 13. That's why she sees him through the lattice. She doesn't open the door to him. That's why in verse 14 he says to her, "O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs." She's playing hard to get. And he says, "I can't get you because you're hidden away in there, like a little creature that hides behind a rock." This is what she's doing. And so there's a dark side in the text as well. And verse 15 especially is the key to that. He understands what's going on as he stands outside this room or this hut. He begins to understand what's going on inside and what's going on in her feelings and her thoughts. And he says to her, "Take us," or "seize for us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." These little foxes are the little things that get in the way of their relationship, that destroy their relationship. Now he calls them little foxes. When we think of a fox, we think of a rather sizable creature with a big bushy tail, and it's red and you can see it. But that's not the kind of fox he's talking about. He's talking about a little varmint that burrows under the undergrowth and you can't see it, and yet at the same time it's destroying the growth that's there. And it nibbles at the fresh grapes on the vine. The little foxes. He says, "Our vine has tender grapes." Our relationship has parts of it that can be quite fragile, and we need to be careful with those things. And he says, we mustn't let these little things, these little foxes, get between us. Seize them. Get rid of them. Deal with them. And as he comes to her in that approach, and that understanding of what's going on, you notice how conciliatory his approach is. He comes as a peacemaker. He could have blown this out of proportion. He could have said to her, "What's going on? Why do you make such a big deal out of something so small?" But that's not his approach to her. Listen to him in verse 14. "Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." He tells her why he wants to be with her, because he loves her, because he appreciates her. He talks about tender grapes. He recognizes that there are emotions in relationships. It's not just a cold contract marriage, and you just kind of live together and fill your roles and all the puzzle pieces fall into place. But there are points where you need to be very careful and tender and conciliatory. This is the way he approaches her. He doesn't want to wound her emotions, even though perhaps she has wounded his emotions. And you have in this story of Solomon and the Shulamite a great lesson for us and for our relationships, and particularly for our marriages. The event that's recorded here in the passage can play itself out every day in the life of a husband and a wife. At some point in the day, the husband comes home. And one of two things can happen. It can be quite a pleasant reception, or you can let the little foxes get in the way and destroy the whole evening. The wife can be waiting and longing and thinking, I need him here. And then when finally he does come and she needs him, she resents and she gives a cold shoulder and she pushes him away. And then husbands, here's the opportunity to be like Solomon. Not be pushed away, but draw her out from, you might say, her resentment with tenderness. As Solomon here. We need to handle one another with care, with tenderness in our marriage. Oftentimes, the people who speak harshest to each other are the husband and the wife, and oftentimes you don't even hear that yourself in your own voice. It takes somebody else to hear it and point it out to you. And yes, listen to yourself. It's true. How much tenderness or how matter of fact is our approach to one another in marriage communication too often? And so often we let the little things, the little foxes, destroy the relationship. When it's a big thing, you can see it coming, a red fox with a bushy tail, and you can shoot it between the eyes, but the little foxes, they gnaw away at marriage. They gnaw away at relationships. Why does he always leave the lid off the toothpaste? Why does she leave her shoes by the door? Day after day, doesn't she know I have to come in there and I'll trip over them? Why does she have to disagree with me again and again in public? Why does he need to look at me that way after I've bought something? These little foxes, they can gnaw away at the marriage relationship. They're the obvious things, the sins of the flesh, the apostle calls them, that can destroy marriage, adultery and murder and theft. But there are the sins of the spirit, and they're just as damaging, much more subtle. The sin of envy, petty jealousies, secret thoughts, a subtle pride. And often the marriage doesn't bear fruit, the grapes don't come to a time of enjoyment because we let the little foxes destroy them. Solomon is saying here, seize them, get rid of them, deal with them. Don't let them get in the way of the greater relationship that there ought to be there between a husband and a wife in the Lord. Well, that's the picture you have in the text, and it all turns out quite well. There's a happy ending, and you might say, thanks to Solomon and the way he handles the situation. She's reflecting here, and she's remembering this day as a fond memory. She doesn't have any resentment here about the way things went on this day. But she learned some things about love. She learned some things about her relation to him and his to her, and how he loves, and how she ought to love. His tenderness paid off. She begins this memory in verse 8 with, the voice of my beloved. That's what she remembers. She loved to hear his voice calling her name on that day. Well, now let's lift our eyes from this earthly to the spiritual and the heavenly relationship that's pictured here in the text. And our vertical relationship, our relation to the Lord, is reflected in this picture in different ways. There are the seasons of the soul, you might say. Times when it seems like winter for the soul and winter in the believer's experience. And God seems so far off. And we long and we cry out in our loneliness for him. Will the Lord cast off forever? Psalm 77. He says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my heart. My spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forever? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? This can truly be the experience of the child of God. Like the Shulamite. And then we can begin to feel sorry for ourselves. Or our vertical relationship is reflected here in the little foxes that get between the things that get between us and our relationship to the Lord. The things that hinder, that stand in the way of our usefulness and our faithfulness to Him. Isaiah 59 verse 2, the prophet says this to Judah, "Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." We should ask this morning, what are the little foxes in my life, the things that stand in the way of my enjoying the covenant life with God? Or our relationship, vertical relationship, is reflected here in this way. When God comes, as Solomon did, with the word of the gospel, perhaps with something that would help us, which is exactly what we need at that moment, then we can, like the Shulamite, push him away. Like Adam and Eve in the garden, they hid from the presence of the Lord. They didn't want to be in the presence of God. Why? Because God's presence would expose the little foxes, the sin. And so it can be with us so often. And then here's what's wonderful and rich in the passage. God comes sovereignly to us, to His people in those situations. In verse 8, "Behold, He cometh leaping on the mountains, skipping upon the hills." A little while ago we sang from Psalter number 34. "He came, the earth's foundations quake, the hills are shaken from their place, thick smoke and fire devouring break, in anger dread before His face." This coming is the sovereign coming of God. With the effectual call of the gospel to you and me in our sin. When we need Him most, and when we need Him most is this, when we think we don't need Him, then we need Him most. When we think, well, God, I'm doing all right now. I don't need you here. I don't need the gospel. I don't need to read the scriptures. I don't need close communion with you through prayer. Then we need Him most. And then He comes, like Solomon, skipping on the mountains and hills with a sovereign call to save and deliver and bring us from our sin. A little while ago we read Isaiah 59 verse 2, "Your sins have separated between you and your God." Verse 1, Isaiah says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither His ear heavy that He cannot hear." God is able. God proves Himself able in the gospel. There's no mountain high enough to stop Him. There's no stream wide enough, no valley deep enough to keep Him from saving to the uttermost each of His own. He's the seeking shepherd. He's the loving Lord. He's persistent in His gracious call to the elect sinner. He comes and He breaks the strongholds and the resistance of sin. And He calls out like Solomon. He calls out. And this is His call. Take the little foxes, seize them, deal with the sins. It's a call to repentance. It's a call to putting away sin. And He says, come out, come away. It's a call to separation. It's the call to antithetical living. And this shows us something of what the antithesis is. It's not just, well, I'm different than those outward behaviors of the world out there, but the antithetical living is this continual daily repentance and putting away every day the little foxes, the sins that still stand between us and our God in close communion with Him. Come away, He says. He calls us to life with Himself. Come away and enjoy the riches of the gospel, and finally one day come away to the glories of heaven. This is His call. And that's especially a call not to the individual, but especially a call to the church. In Revelation chapter 3, we have a very close parallel to the text this morning. Verse 19, speaking to the church at Laodicea, Christ says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Take the little foxes." And then He says this to the church, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." And so many take that text today and they make it an evangelistic message. Here's Christ appealing to every sinner, "Open your heart up to me and I will come in." But that's not it. It's Christ, the sovereign Lord, standing outside the door of the church that's filled with these little foxes. And He's saying, "I stand outside that church and I call like Solomon. And I say, put away the foxes, repent, come away, live this antithetical life of repentance. Then you'll know rich communion with me." This is the word in the text. And the call is effectual. The church reflects on Christ and His coming in the gospel and His call in the gospel. And like the Shulamite, she says, "Behold the voice of my beloved." What a voice. What a message in the gospel to the church. Message of forgiveness, of tenderness, of love. A message to call her to repentance and faith and away from her sin. A message that points her to the way of life through her groom, Jesus Christ, and His blood shed for her. A message that calls her to life, rich fellowship with Him. That's the word of the gospel this morning, and that's the word of the sacrament this morning as well. Gather up the foxes, destroy them, put them away, and come. Enjoy the fellowship of Christ at the table. And filled with that love, the world is a different place. This is Father's world. And life is filled with joy as we live to Him here. Amen.